Hi guys, this is Kendra Kamer with the Candidly Kendra podcast. Today is Wednesday, March 31st, 2021, and it's Easter week. I've been spending so much time this week thinking about repentance and the beauty of the fact that we have a Savior, a God who died for us, and what that means for me. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. Today in particular, I wanted to talk to you about Jesus Christ, our anchor. In the Bible, Jesus calls himself many things. He calls himself the Son of Man, the Bread of Life, the Chief Cornerstone, the Good Shepherd, the Light of the World. Okay, honestly, this list, even just thinking about it, got me so excited. I think I'm going to have to write more about it. But if you want to see a good list for yourself, and I haven't written about it yet, you can check out helpmewithbiblestudy.org to see a complete list of all the names that Jesus calls himself. But maybe my favorite name for Jesus is one that the Bible didn't give us, but a wise follower of Jesus did. And that name is the Anchor. I grew up singing traditional hymns in church. In more recent years, I sang and listened to more contemporary music. But I remember growing up singing My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Have you heard that hymn? It was written in 1834 by Edward Mote. And I sang those lines along with the rest of the congregation. And I admit I must have sung the song maybe 50 times before I even started to wonder what the words meant. There's this one verse in particular that says, "In every rough and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay." You know, the word he uses there, my anchor holds within the veil, in the original version, this is the V-A-L-E, and it actually means valley. But now, more traditional, more of the modern translations of that hymn rewrite it as V-E-I-L, veil. And that's true, too, for the newer version called Cornerstone, which was written by Hillsong Worship. Have you heard that song? It's so beautiful. Same lines. It really was motivated by the original hymn. Here's how Hillsong Worship rewrote the song. They say, "When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil." V-E-I-L. Now, both of these homonyms, veil and veil, have beautiful meaning in the context of the songs, but the biblical history of Jesus, our anchor within the veil, is so beautiful that I wanted to share it with you this week. The first idea was presented in Exodus 19 through 34 when we see Moses spending time with God on Mount Sinai. He received the law from God in order to lead the people of Israel to become their own nation, to become representatives of God among all the nations. That time with God up on Mount Sinai changed Moses. There was an actual physical change to his appearance. Here's what it says, Exodus 34, verse 29, and the few verses following. It says, "When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin on his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil," V-E-I-L, "over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining, and Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him." Well, now really, this begs a question. Why do you think Moses wore a veil? If you were shining with the glory of God, wouldn't you want to show it off? I mean, I would. But okay, you sweeter, meeker, and more humble types might not, I imagine. Many people have made wild guesses about why Moses put a veil over his face. But wild guesses aren't necessary because the Bible actually tells us why. 2 Corinthians 3:13 says, "We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away." You see, God's presence changed Moses, but the change was temporary. Even as God traveled before the people in the Ark of the Covenant that they would soon create, God's presence was temporary. There's grieving in that. God's glory was beautiful, but his people, even Moses, could only temporarily possess it. His presence was awesome, but he could remove himself from them. Moses wore a veil to cover the shame of the fading glory of God on his face. But, friends, that was not the end of the story. You see, in 2 Corinthians 3, Paul goes on to say that we are not like Moses. He says in 3:18, "And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Under the Old Covenant, bound by the law, Moses reflected the Lord's glory temporarily. It was fleeting, and the loss of God's glory must have been more painful than if he had never experienced it in the first place, only for it to fade. But God brought a new covenant through Jesus. There's a new story now. Jesus died on the cross, becoming sin through and through, so that by faith in him, we could become righteous. Through and through. God's Spirit lives in us who believe as a guarantee of our salvation. His glory shines through us and will never fade away. As the people of God built the temple according to the specifications given to them by God himself, they put up a large curtain, a veil, to block the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant and God himself would reside. That veil was necessary because the all-consuming glory of God was deadly to God's sinful people. They couldn't be in the presence of God without being destroyed. But when Jesus died on the cross, taking our sins upon himself and in that moment making his own people clean and pure as if they'd never sinned, something truly amazing happened. It says in Matthew 27:50-51, "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." The curtain, the veil, was torn in two from top to bottom, as though God himself said, "There will be no more separation between me and my people." Jesus is the anchor that holds us in the presence of God. We can never be lost. We can never wander away. His glory in us will never fade. Jesus is our anchor. Amen. Thanks, guys. You can find this post and more on my website at candidlykendrak.com. And don't you just feel like listening to either one of those hymns now? You can listen to My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, the original hymn, or the song Cornerstone by Hillsong Worship. You can find links to those songs on YouTube on my website as well. Also, you guys, you might like to know that if you subscribe to my blog during this last week before Christmas, I will give you instructions for how you can do a Seder service in your own home. A Seder is essentially practicing the Last Supper, just as Jesus experienced it with his disciples on the Thursday night before his crucifixion. You can do a Seder experience with your own family with just a few items from the grocery store. You can get a hold of some matzah, some parsley, some horseradish. It doesn't sound like a very good meal, but it is an awesome worshipful experience, and it's great for all ages. I think you should check it out. I think you will love it, and I think it will become a new favorite tradition for you for Easter. I'll be back again on Friday with a recipe to share, one more great recipe that you might like to use this Easter. I hope you guys have a great day, and I'll talk to you later.